And welcome, my friends. Yes, it is Tuesday. Robbie Noel with you for 1 hour. This hour brought to you by the Republic Trading Group. Toll-free number 1-800-691-7898. The web address, eaglesup.com or republictradinggroup.net. Well, the only major economic news of the day was the release of the Fed's minutes, which showed a unanimous agreement in the decision by the Fed to cut rates by 50 basis points at their last meeting. And perhaps the most significant part of the minutes to note was the complete lack of concern for that little thing called inflation. Don't ask me why, but apparently, according to the Fed, inflation is not a concern, as we get reports that heating oil will increase by some 28% in the next few months. But that was all Wall Street needed to soar 120 points to close the day at 14,164. NASDAQ on a tear. Google, will it get to $700? Well, your guess is as good as mine. NASDAQ up 16 points at 2,803. S&P 500 up 12 points at 1,565. The start of earnings season, anything and all things are now possible. The metals complex, gold reacting to a weaker dollar based on the Fed's comments. Gold closed up $4.10 at $738.20. Silver up 20 cents at $13.53. Platinum up $14 at $1,372. You know, there was a time when I was selling platinum for around $295. Did I buy any? Of course not. Palladium, up $2 at $366. Currently in Asian trading, gold was up $1. Now it's only up 70 cents at $738.20. Silver all up 4 cents at $13.52. Platinum off $2 at $1,372. Leading the metals higher today outside of the Fed minutes was obviously oil. Crude oil climbing $1.16 a barrel to close at $80.18. And as we mentioned, the U.S. dollar today marginally weaker by 14 basis points at 78.41. As we mentioned, the Bob Chapman special for this week, don't have many of them. MS-61, $10 liberties, $459. It's steel at that price. And as I said, first come, first served. And if you don't get me live, just leave a message. I'll get back to you at 1-800-691-7898. We'll take a short break and be right back.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
Welcome back to the flip side for this Tuesday. As I have a tendency to do, I build up things with great expectation and I get all prepared, and then when the big event happens, it's disappointing. And that was the case today with the presidential debate. Because this was hosted by CNBC, it was all supposed to be about finance. And I thought, well, if there's anybody that's going to shine when it comes to finance, it's going to be Ron Paul. And he would have shone. And he did shine in the very limited time he had available to explain his philosophies. Unfortunately, it was one of those meaningless debates where you heard the standard stump speeches of all the candidates. Nothing in depth was discussed. Nothing about the real crises was even broached. It was fluff, pure and simple, and kind of just convinced me that if this is, now one has to assume, if we are listening to the so-called mainstream candidates as opposed to second-tier candidates, if this is the general consensus of the mass multitude out there, then we are in serious trouble, because these people are clinging on to a false dream that somehow the greatness of America can overcome all obstacles irrespective of what they are. They, strangely, because a report came out earlier in the week which said that 60% of, well, they did a survey of Republicans, and for the first time it showed a majority of Republicans, 60%, as a matter of fact, were questioning the validity of America's free trade policy. And unfortunately, that didn't boil over into the mainstream tier candidates, because they all extolled the virtues of a free trade. Fred Thompson was the big media attention on his first debate, and to be perfectly honest with you, he's Fred Thompson. And besides, half those people on that stage, when they were in various political offices, all voted overwhelmingly for free trade. And so, what you've got to understand in the gold market is, although we think we're at the vortex of informing people about currencies and gold and financial markets, the large majority of the unwashed hasn't even picked up on the fact that gold is trading at over $700 an ounce. It's a very, you've got to understand this, very small percentage of people are actually aware that gold's actually gone from $300 to $730. They're completely oblivious to it. And a number of reasons for it. First of all, you've got to understand, Americans would never own gold prior to 1975. It was a long drought from 1933 to 1975. Out of mind, out of sight, and obviously nobody thought about gold. And the people that are in their 50s are the only people that kind of remember that gold at some point in time went to $800 an ounce when we were standing in lines to get gasoline for our cars. There's a whole generation, a couple of generations of people that missed that whole thing. For goodness sake, there's whole generations of people right now that have never known the American presidency not to be a Bush or a Clinton. And that's all they've had all their lives. A lot of people missed the whole Reagan revolution. And this is a point we try to make with gold on a consistent basis. The price that you see quoted every day is just a trading price. This has got nothing to do with the underlying supply-demand. If all of a sudden mainstream starts hooking on to what gold has done and what it is going to do in the future, and when it does go mainstream, and Joe Sixpack out there decides to run down to his local coin store and pick up a couple of ounces of gold, he's going to be in for a rude shock. Not only if there is gold available, the price he's going to have to pay for it, but whether there'll be any gold available, period. And we're slowly getting to that point where you have now got analysts from Citigroup and UBS amongst the latest to issue bullish gold forecasts, raising their multi-year price forecasts as high as $820 an ounce. Citigroup's John Hill went as far as to say that the nominal high of $1,000 per ounce could be seen within the next few years. Now, these are staged, stodgy broker types that are now saying this. Now, this isn't to say that the analysts have not produced well-thought-out, well-researched, fundamentally driven reports. In most cases, they most certainly have, but it's worth noting that as Wall Street continues to embrace this gold rally with the corresponding hikes in the price estimates of bullion, there's a good chance that the adoption from all sorts of institutional and individual investors isn't far off. The gold bull may be finally close to entering the mainstream, meaning that several more years of solid gains could be in store before it gets the way of every other previous bull market. In other words, my friends, we haven't even entered into the realm of a gold bull market. Now, granted, if you're someone that pays attention on a day-to-day basis, you think that everybody is paying the same type of attention. They're not. People are consumed with all other things besides gold. First of all, people don't even know that their dollar's depreciating. The only people that actually can see, feel, dollar depreciation on those poor, unfortunate Americans who have to fly to various parts of the world on a regular basis to conduct business. They're going through sticker shock right now when they fly into England or Europe or even Asia for that matter. Because they see and they recognize immediately the dollar depreciation. Unfortunately, when you conduct all daily transaction in dollars, you don't see depreciation. And the only instrument that shows depreciation, it's not euros or yen or British pounds or loonies or whatever it may be, it's gold. Gold is the only asset that shows you depreciation. And even then, it is not realistic. Because if we are, and we've said this many times before, if we are to return to 1980 levels, as many are saying, you hear this constant refrain, which is good for the gold business, good for PR, gold hits 27-year high, but then that's the negative thing is, well, that's it for gold, it's done, it's got to its 27-year high. No. No. We're far from the 27-year high. If gold was at $1,700, I'd say, yes, we had a 27-year high because that is a realistic price of where gold should be trading right now based on, obviously, the devaluation of the dollar since 1980. But here you're now starting to see the early signs. Begrudgingly, I'm sure these people are coming to this conclusion that that we are starting to see, obviously, this catching on with the mainstream. We've got a report here by, I've forgotten who it is. Who's this guy we're talking to here? Who are we talking about here? Forgotten his name. His name's Hill something. In a recent report, Hill notes that the drivers of the gold market are shifting from safe haven demand and anti-dollar bets to a wider spread reflation trade thanks to expectations that the U.S. Federal Reserve will continue to cut rates and boost money supply in an attempt to avert an economic malaise. And that's exactly what those minutes, those Fed minutes, indicated today. That, first of all, the Fed's not concerned about inflation. Why should they? They control how we gauge inflation. They put stuff into the basket of commodities that they gauge inflation, and it's stuff we don't use. There's no food, there's no energy, there's nothing that we consume on a daily basis that costs more that's in the basket. That's how they can keep inflation at next to zero. You see, because the Fed's got two responsibilities. Protect the viability and the supremacy of the U.S. dollar and control inflation. So those are basically the two mandates that the Federal Reserve has from Congress. And I guess in their book, well, one out of two ain't bad. Because they sure ain't defending the dollar. Because they can't defend the dollar. Because the world's awash in dollars as we speak. What they're trying to avert is a main financial meltdown. That's why they will continue to cut rates, as opposed to raising them to the dollar. We'll be back.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
When you feel like there's a sign there on your back, says I don't mind if you kick me, seems like everybody has. Things go from bad to worse, you think they can't get worse than that, and then they do. You step off the straight and narrow and you don't know where you are. Use the needle of your compass to sew up your broken heart. Ask directions from a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth if you're going through.
Before we continue, unfortunately, not paying attention as I should. I'm not sure if he's still there. Doug from Texas. You still there, Doug?
Hey. I got an unusual email the other day, Robbie, and I'm trying to follow up on it. I really haven't had any chance to research because I've been busy with IRS stuff here the last couple of days. But anyway, yes, the question that was posed or statement was made that gold is still considered lawful money is the key term by the United States government. Is that true or not?
Well, in its true definition, no. Obviously, legal constitutional money has been usurped by the fiat currency called the Federal Reserve Note. It's actually not a dollar because dollar is a unit measure.
Right.
A dollar is a true currency.
Well, the reason I brought it up is there, you know, according to this individual, and he gave a reference to a law, and I went and looked it up, and it actually showed up right on the Federal Reserve. It's just a little short paragraph. I mean, it's like 10 lines long is all, and it talks about a bunch of crazy stuff, and then down at there's one little line in it that says that Federal Reserve notes can be redeemed at a Federal Reserve office for lawful money of the U.S. Government.
That pertained prior to 1933.
No, this was well after that. I think it was in the 70s that this was written. And I thought...
The only convertible currency, in other words, the only currency that you could take to a Federal Reserve and exchange for legal, lawful tender was just prior to them doing away with silver certificates. And I think that ended in 1965, if memory serves me correctly. You could go down. As a matter of fact, I had a friend of mine in Colorado that used to make it a mission of his. Every couple of months, he'd fly to San Francisco, to the San Francisco Mint, and he'd exchange silver certificates for silver dollars. And towards the latter part of 1965, before they did away with silver certificates, he had gone down to... they ran out of silver dollars. They were giving him vials, one-ounce vials of silver that wasn't in the form of coins. It was just 1 ounce. Well, actually, it wasn't 1 ounce. It was 90% silver. But they were getting. He was getting vials. He still had the vials, and he showed me the little silver vials that they got because they ran out of silver dollars. But yeah, that was. But prior to that, prior to 1933, you could go down. You could take a $20 bill down to Federal Reserve. They would give you a $20 gold piece. But that stopped. That stopped in 33. It stopped for Americans in 33. Now this is where there could be some confusion because foreigners could still. Demand gold as opposed to U.S. dollars, which is ultimately the reason why Nixon finally cut the last vestiges between the dollar and gold was because, according to some, Fort Knox was empty. And people to this very day still believe that to be true.
Hmm. Okay, well, I'm going to try to find that, and then when I do, I'll send it along to you. I know it came in the last couple of days. I've just hadn't had a chance to look at it, but I'll look for it and see if I can send it along. Because I know it was, I almost 100% believe it was in the 1970s someplace that this was written. So.
Yeah, well, it could be, but it could be pertaining to foreigners as opposed to U.S. citizens, because U.S. citizens were barred from owning gold up until 1975 when they severed the last ties between dollar and gold.
Well, I appreciate you taking my call. I'll look a little
right.
deeper into it. Have a great day, sir.
Okay. All right, my friend. Sure, legal constitutional money as envisioned by the founding fathers. Yeah, they're pretty smart guys when you think about it. They figured out how people would start finagling the system with central banks and fractional banking. That's why they felt that if the citizens held the nation's wealth in their hand, there was some sort of check and balance. Also, would limit government's ability to willy-nilly to finance. And it's usually, I mean, when you look at the creation of money, it all centers around, obviously, war efforts. And it's a reason why Ron Paul illustrates this on a regular basis. That is the reason why America is in such dire financial straits, is because rather than taking care of things at home, we are spending billions and billions of the national treasure on foreign wars that should have never been fought and can never be won.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors.
There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information, or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the Success Team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Choke on my own blue collar. This ain't gonna last. Misled by the grand illusion, I've come to this conclusion. I can't make the move too fast.
Welcome back, my friends. Let me once again reiterate these two analysts, mainstream analysts now, one from Citibank, the other one from UBS, who are talking about gold. So gold's going mainstream. It's not there yet. It's going to get nuts when it gets there. I'll tell you something for nothing. Anyway, in this recent report, John Hill also notes that seasonally, was among many of the other reasons, that he highlighted gold's intermediate term strength. He said that after gold's meltdown last week from extreme technically overbought levels, there are quite a number of reasons that gold should post a strong run later in the quarter. Beyond the upcoming gold-orientated Indian festival season and the Chinese New Year, the recent end of the central bank's selling year could bring relief to gold prices. Over the past few years, the tail end of the fourth quarter and the early first quarter have been the time of the year when gold has produced some of its most incredible gains. He's basing this on history. Gold went from $300 to $850 from November to January of 1980. John Hill also notes that gold has again seen some dollar decoupling and solid appreciation off its August lows in euros, yen, and dollars. Aside from these positive remarks, risks do remain in the short term. Gold markets still remain somewhat overbought technically. Any broader market weakness could also take down the gold price to around the $700 range. The correlation between the two has been alarmingly strong in recent months. UBS analyst John Reed also notes that lower scrap supply and growing jewelry demand as buyers have adjusted to the $700 range prices is helping to support the price of gold in the longer term. Reed also notes that based upon client conversations, the recent buyers of gold seem to be more of the usual suspects, those who have already held investment positions rather than newcomers to the market. His conclusion is while the precious metals market has yet to become mainstream, given the small size of the market, even incrementally higher investment demand can significantly increase the prices. With more Wall Street analysts getting firmly in gold's camp every day, and some even issuing four-digit price targets that would have been unheard of just a year ago. And there you have it. We're in a new paradigm, my friends. We're in a new era altogether. This thing hasn't even gone mainstream yet. Can you imagine what would happen when this stuff goes mainstream? Because the reality, as I've said, and I'll say it again, there's a serious disconnect out there that people think that there's an unlimited supply of gold in the world. There's not. All the gold ever mined since the beginning of time can fit on a basketball court about 18 feet high. And of that, two-thirds are held by institutions and governments and very wealthy private individuals. A third of it is available to you and me, industry, who use gold, and there's a lot of gold in being used in industry, and the biggest chunk goes to the jewelry industry. Now, if you figure out that we are going to have a gold run, it's not going to take a whole lot before we start running out of gold. I mean, let's be generous. Let's say there's 50,000 metric tons of gold available. People say, oh, that's a lot of gold. 32,000 ounces in a metric ton. Do the math for yourself. Well, when you figure it out, I mean, that's probably less than half an ounce per person in the U.S. You will see huge price escalations in premiums. We saw it in the 1980s. And there wasn't a gold shortage in the 1980s. There was just a gold demand. They had plenty of gold back in those days, but the demand was so great that the premium that you would pay on just a regular 1 ounce bullion coin, I mean, everybody talks about gold at $850. Yeah, you could have sold gold for $800. You couldn't buy it for $850. Krugerrands had the biggest premium at the time, because Krugerrand was the most highly desirable gold coin on the planet. Premiums on Krugerrands were in excess of $100. So at $850, if you were lucky enough to heed Merrill Lynch's advice at the time, because they gave an order, they'll never live this one down. The last time that Merrill Lynch gave a full-blown recommendation to its client base to buy gold was, I think it was on January the 13th, 1980, as gold was about to breach $800 an ounce. And so all those clients who believed in Merrill Lynch at the time and had bought, obviously lost a few shekels along the way. But that was the last time they gave a full-blown, and then from then on they never touched it. The only time Merrill Lynch actually ever got back into the so-called coin business was when they put together two funds in the late late 1980s, called Anitha 1 and Anitha 2, which was sold out immediately. Those were $100 million funds. Of course, the rare coin market, and this should be a wake-up call for a lot of people out there. When Wall Street got involved in the rare coin business in 1988 and 1989, they did so because of, obviously, the certification services that had come in. To the standard bearers as far as industry standards are concerned, as far as grading coins are. Or we don't, you call me up and you say, I've got a PCGS, NGC, ICG coin, it's an MS61. I know exactly what it is and I can quote you a price. That's the beauty of, obviously, the certification service and what Wall Street wanted the rare coin business to do, because they wanted to get in the rare coin business because they were reading these reports on a consistent basis from Solomon Brothers that rare coins were the single most profitable investment in the last 5 years, the last 10 years, and the last 20 years outside of Chinese ceramics. And so they set up all these funds, and Wall Street, as Wall Street tends to do, if one big financial house decides to get on board with something, it doesn't take long for all the other guys on Wall Street to do the same thing. And after Merrill Lynch put together those two funds, you had Kidder Peabody. I don't even think Kidder Peabody is still in business. And you had other people back then, too, that aren't in business. Payne Webber, E.F. Hutton. Where are these fine institutions today? They all set up these rare coin funds. The Solomon Brothers had a rare coin fund. And you had such a dramatic increase in the price of numismatic coins from 1988 to 1989, it was unbelievable. MS-65, for instance, $20 St. Gaudens went from $800 to well over $5,000. So why did this happen? Well, what Wall Street came to realize and why they really didn't like coins that much is they suddenly realized that there was only so many coins out there that could meet the demand that they were creating with all these funds. And because Wall Street was sucking up all the coins that it could, all of a sudden there were shortages all over the place, and prices went down. This $10 Liberty, for instance, was a $2,500 coin, the one that we got on the Bob Chapman special here for $459. That was a $2,500 coin. And this was at a time when there was fairly good prosperity all around. There wasn't fears of inflation. There wasn't there wasn't wars of any note. George Bush hadn't as yet sharpened his sword and gone after Saddam Hussein. The world was relatively at peace. George Bush was running around the country saying, read my lips, no new taxes. But that was an illustration of how, and these were just in total, probably less than $500 million was committed by Wall Street to these rare coin funds, and it literally dried up the market. The reason that the whole thing unraveled was thanks to Merrill Lynch once again, because although they sold Anitha 1 and Anitha 2 as a rare coin fund, it wasn't until much later that the people found out that the person that he put in charge of the Anitha funds was a guy by the name of Bruce McNall, who used to own the Los Angeles Kings, the hockey team. He was responsible, besides a lot of other things, but he was responsible for bringing hockey to L.A. because he brought Wayne Gretzky along. And Bruce McNall had a specialty in foreign gold coins, primary Roman-era gold coins, which are... which are very hard to... They like collateralized debt obligations. Nobody could figure out what the value of a Roman dinar or whatever they called them were. And so Merrill Lynch quietly liquidated its funds and pretty much everybody followed suit. And in 1980, you had a serious correction in the rare coin price because Wall Street dumped all its coins on the market. And guess what happens when there's a flood of stuff that comes into the market? Buyers just fold their hands. This is an amazing thing. People don't understand. Prices, I don't care what it is, are dictated on a daily basis by willing buyers and willing sellers. And unfortunately, there are times in financial markets where buyers fold their hands. In other words, they ain't buying. So if they ain't buying, who are you going to sell it to? And unfortunately, the only way you're going to generate sellers is obviously see the price go down to the point where the buyers unfold their hands. So the point that I'm trying to illustrate here is we're in an area in gold right now that is very reminiscent to that period. Where now, but the difference now is we aren't talking simply about rare coins. We're talking about gold in general, and that it has now moved from the fringes to where it's getting noticed by the big boys at UBS and Citibank, and are now advising their clients. And besides, there's all these instruments that are now available to them that were never available to them 2 years ago, and that's such as the ETFs. Because believe it or not, a lot of people still believe in paper. They believe, well, paper that says it's stored somewhere in a bank in England somewhere. So all these instruments are out there. So more and more people are starting to get into figuring out gold. But the real crux of the matter is that when people actually start going out and buying physical gold, it's not going to take too long for people to suddenly start realizing that there's not a lot of this stuff out there. And those and there's an old saying in the gold business, the old saying in life, he owns the gold makes the rules. And so the guys that are holding the gold, when the prices are going nuts and nobody can get any gold, are the guys that are going to make out like bandits because they are going to set the price. Look, the official price of gold could be where it is today. It's $730. You could walk into a coin store and the guy goes, I want $1,000 for this 1 ounce gold coin. You go, that's ridiculous. Spot gold's only $730. And he'll tell you, look, it's $1,000. You either put down $1,000 and you leave with a gold coin, or you just leave empty-handed. It's your choice. And they will be able to do that. Dealers will be able to demand. I'm not saying that dealers will do this, and dealers are not going to rip the public off by any stretch of the imagination. But obviously, if they know that the demand is exceeding the available supply, premiums just go out of sight. And the other case, the other example I use was when Chrysler introduced the Viper. That had a sticker price of $50,000. Do you think you could buy a Viper for 50 grand? Come on, the minimum you could get a Viper for was 100 grand. Why? Double the sticker price. Because the demand for the Viper exceeded how many Vipers they had available. So dealers could sit there and say, look, I know that, look on the window, sticker price, 50 grand, but you want it, it's going to cost you 100. And it's amazing how many people forked over 100 grand so they could have a Viper. But that's supply and demand, economics 101, pretty much. And so when people, as I said, when people start paying attention, and they will start paying attention, because now you are starting, because they always relegated gold to the lunatic fringes. You know, whenever people used to, you know, in a social setting, oh, what do you do for a living? I go, well, I sell gold. Oh, you're one of those people. What do you mean, I'm one of those? Oh, you're one of those doom and gloomers. No, I'm not a doom and gloomer. I'm a realist. I've seen it before. I've seen what happens. And And the African experience is a very valuable one. A lot of people in Africa saw what was coming down the pike when Nelson Mandela was going to assume power. And they were smart enough to convert their rands into physical gold. The people that did it, obviously, when the rand and the dollar was 2 rand to a dollar. That was the official exchange rate before Mandela took power. By the time Mandela finished his first term in office, it was 13 rand to the dollar. Anyway, final segment coming up. We'll be right back.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back, my friends. Final segment for this Tuesday. If you didn't, and I'm sure a lot of people didn't, it's a very strange time to have a presidential debate. At, it came on here at 1 o'clock here in Arizona. I believe it's been shown again, rebroadcast, I believe on C-SPAN and on CNBC at 9 p.m. which is East Coast time, which is about an hour from now, if memory serves me correctly. And the real interesting thing to note, although it was marginal at best, was how so many of these so-called front-tier candidates were falling over themselves, extolling the virtues of free trade. And I bring this up because, as we mentioned, according to a transcript published by CNN on Larry King last night, Vicente Fox was asked a question by Larry. It was emailed in from a listener, Ms. Gonzalez, from Elizabeth, New Jersey. And it said, Mr. Fox, I'd like to know how you feel about the possibility of having a Latin American united with one currency. Fox answered in the affirmative, indicating that it was a long-term plan. He admitted that he and President Bush had agreed to pursue the Free Trade Agreement of the Americas, a free trade zone extending throughout the Western Hemisphere, suggesting part of the plan was to institute eventually a regional currency. Mr. Vicente Fox said, long-term, very long-term. What we proposed together, President Bush and myself, is ALCA, which is just another word for Free Trade of the Americas Agreement, which is a trade union for all Americans. So do we know which direction the dollar is going? I think so. Let's try and do this very quickly. John, in Florida, you're going to have to be quick, my friend.
Yes. Back in 2000, the muffler people, the Midas, they sold me, I bought a couple of $20 Liberties for $3.99. Now, I don't know if they're MS-61 or MS-65, and how would I ever even know what they are? Is there kind of verification?
Are they encased in plastic?
Well, they have a little plastic sleeve, but, you know.
No, is it a hard plastic? In other
words,
No,
nothing like that.
No?
No, something you can take out.
Yeah, no, that isn't certified by any stretch of the imagination. What you're dealing there with is probably a coin in either a very fine condition or extra fine condition. Right now, $20 Liberties or St. Gaudens in extra fine condition retail for around about $840.
Oh, I know they doubled in price, but the Midas people, they kind of left me without a muffler.
I mean, if it was, in other words, just to give you some sort of reference point, if it was an MS-65, right now MS-65s are running at like $1,500. And real quickly, an MS-61 is running at around $900.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah, but if it's not in hard plastic and it's just in soft plastic, you're dealing with a very fine coin.
Oh, they're nice looking coins. I'm not saying.
Oh yeah, they're nice looking coins, but it's not it's not mint state, which is what MS stands for.
I understand.
In other words, not in the same mint state condition as it was when it left the mint. Thanks, John. Till tomorrow, my friend. See you back.
It's true.